right, well, with that, let's dive into the Word here. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Let me get there myself. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to be at verses 15 through 17. If you've been with us, we just finished going through the entirety of 1 Peter. And in these 4 weeks leading up to Missions Month, we're going to kind of just do a short series on just talking about making room. And if you're new to us, we've been talking, last week we talked about making room for Jesus. We talked about, have you ever lived life to the brim? Have you ever filled your life so full of stuff you didn't have room for Jesus? Or you didn't have, some hands in the back there. And so this whole series, we're talking about making room for more work of the Spirit in your life, more room with Jesus, more time with Him, and more room for what God wants to do here at Cross Point on the west side, Sioux City, and wherever He takes us. And so last week we were talking about making room, talking about, you know, taking some room to make sure you put extra money away in your savings or giving yourself an extra 15 minutes to be somewhere. We talked about just making room in your life for things so we're not living life filled to the brim. And so with that, we're talking through this series, we're talking about margin. And margin is just the amount available beyond what is necessary, is what margin is described at. And so we're talking about this with room or making room is, do you have margin in your spiritual life, in your physical life, in your financial life, in your emotional life, in your volunteer life? Do you have margin so if God can redirect you or direct you somewhere, you have that ability to do that? And as we start off for today, I want to remind us of this. Most of us know this familiar passage, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. And we could spend a couple weeks just on that verse alone of what does it mean not to be conformed to this world. But I want to remind us that we know that culture is constantly pulling us toward life to the brim, to fill in our life with all these other things that are good things, but they're not maybe the best thing that God wants for us to follow or pursue in our life. And as we're going through this series, to make room in our life, we have to fight against the undertow of what our culture and sometimes what the world tells us we have to have. You got to get more. You got to work hard. You got to have more things. You got to do this and that. It's the, you know, FOMO, the fear of missing out. You got to keep filling your life more and more with these things, because God is enough. And if you have room, you've got to fill it with something. Our culture wants us to fill our lives with things that aren't always the most spiritual, fruitful for us. And so, so with that, today's what I want to talk to us about today. For week two, we're going to talk about slow roasted. Slow roasted. Last week we talked about life to the brim. This week we're going to talk about slow roasted. Have you ever had something that was slowly roasted? Ooh, a nice. Tim was telling me he was barbecuing yesterday and smoking some pork and all that. Have you ever had something that was nice, slow roasted food? Oh, the meat just, oh yeah. The meat falls off. Or sometimes you've ever had that slow roasted coffee, or have you ever had just something that was really simmered, or a good soup that simmered for a long time? It's slowly roasted. Boy, isn't that great? But how many of you just love the instant stuff? Raise your hand. Yeah, hands are not going up here today. Yeah, we got one up here. Well, we'll talk about that later, young man. Your taste buds must be off. But anyhow, we usually like things that are slowly roasted. They taste better. You can feel the flavor and the ingredients in them. And so I would say us today, as we begin, we're going to look at Scripture here. I would say this: we have to make active choices that set a more slow roasted pace for our lives. If we're going to experience more God in our life, sometimes we just got to slow down for a minute. How many of you would say, by raised hand, my life's been busy the last week, or pretty full? Yeah. Now, it's not a bad thing, right? God's got us on callings and giftings and jobs and children, raising, all the good things of life. However, sometimes we got to slow down, and I would say this, we got to slow down enough to savor the flavor. To savor the flavor of life, it requires us to slow down and to keep in step with the Spirit and see what He is doing. And so, you know, I have a story. When we came up, we came up to Siouxland to visit back in 2000. I think it was 2012. It was the Olympic trials were going on down in Omaha, the swim trials for the Olympics. And I remember we were driving late. We were driving from Birmingham, Alabama, up here to see Bob and Sue, the former pastors here. We were coming up, and I remember, Ginger remembers, it was a hot. It was one of those sweltering summers. We had driven with three young kids from Birmingham, Alabama, up here. And we pulled in Omaha, and I was like, what is going on? I mean, there was people everywhere. There was lines at every fast food restaurant. I'm like, what is going on? We didn't know it was the swim trials. Anyhow, I was like, I just want an iced tea. It's just hot. You know, the kids were crying. You guys, you've probably all been there if you got kids, right? I pulled through the drive-thru. I thought, oh, surely this will be nice, fresh-brewed tea. No, it was instant tea. And I was like, oh, I'm so mad. I was out of my character. I literally opened the door and I poured it out. Brand new, I just paid for it. I poured it out and I was like, I'm done with this. And Ginger was like, what's going on? And she's like, you know, is my husband having a crisis of faith over tea? And I was like, I just want the real thing. I want something that's flavorful and real. But to do that, it takes time. To have good things, we have to slow down and have that slow roasted pace of life to enjoy those good things. So instant tea, it's okay. You guys know me. Instant tea is not good. But real sun-brewed tea, or that tea you take your time and brew, man, fresh, that's so much better. And God wants us to slow down our lives so that we can acknowledge that everything comes from Him. And so as we jump into our Ephesians here, I just want to hit a few verses about the slow-roasted life. A slow-roasted life acknowledges that everything we have comes from God in His time. When we slow down, it goes against our human nature, maybe even our American ethos, where we say, we've got to do this. We've got to build a company. We've got to save. We've got to pull ourselves up. If we can only get what we accomplish, what we produce. But James 1:17 reminds us, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Amen. Every good gift comes from God. Salvation first, and then everything else still comes from Him. Or Romans 11:33-36 reminds us here. It says, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom in the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Think about that last verse there. When we live a slow roasted life, a slower pace, we can remember that all things are from God. That we may think, well, I've got to just produce my own stuff. But if we take a minute and relax, we realize that everything is from Him, it's through Him, and to Him. Did the Scripture say, well, everything is through Him except for your job advancement or your retirement or the home you want to pay off? No, everything is from Him. Everything we need, every good gift, everything in our life will come from God. And He will provide if we just take the time to acknowledge and slow down that He's in control. And that, as we sang today, He's got good plans for us. Even in deserts and gardens, I know my Father has good plans for us. Next up, Matthew 7:11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, we talked about this last week, that phrase, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? So when we live a slow-roasted life, a slower pace, we can remember that we can ask our good Father for things, and how much more will He take care of us when we're taking time to slow down and know Him and pay attention to His ways and trust in Him for the things that are the better things that we talked about last week and the much more things. And so busy doesn't mean spiritual. In a life that we want to fill to the brim, busy doesn't mean spiritual. Busy doesn't mean important, and busy doesn't mean valuable. Just because we're busy with things does not mean they are the best things for us. We learned about it last week, but today as we talk about get into the slow-roasted life, we have to remember, just because we're busy doesn't mean it's invaluable. Denzel Washington said, don't confuse progress with momentum. He went on to say, don't confuse busyness, and I'm doing all these things, with actually moving. I'm going somewhere. In our Christian walk, sometimes we can get so busy, we think we're moving, but really the Lord's saying, hey, my child, my son, my daughter, hey, hold on, hey, that's a good thing, but hold on, that's not what I've got for you. Come right here and slow down with me for a little bit. I'm going a different path. But sometimes we think, oh, Lord, I got to be busy about your business because so many things are going wrong. I mean, we've got kids in Indonesia that need you. Yes, but we have to listen. Is that where God's sending us? No, that's where God assigned Julie for this season. And we say, thank God, but where is He signing us? What does He want us to listen to slow down? Our culture and our own desires will make you busy with the good things and leave you no room for the best things. And in this series, I know we're probably on repeat. You're like, probably, be quiet, Dan, we've heard this. But I want to encourage you right now. I believe the Spirit is really saying to our church and the churches, slow down and follow me. There's a lot of good things we can put our hand to the plow. But there's specific things He wants for your life, for Crosspoint, for the church of Siouxland to do, that is so different than other things, right? We can't be the church in Des Moines or the church in Omaha. We're the church of Sioux City. And what does God want for us? But we have to slow down and say, God, what are those good things that you want us to just put off? Because they're okay, but they're not the best things for us in our spiritual lives right now. And so how do you separate the good choices from the best choices? How do you separate between what is good and best in a slow-roasted life? And this is where our scripture comes in. So turn with me to Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17 here. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. And as we're going through this series, we're taking some smaller portions of scriptures instead of doing more of an expository kind of going through. But I just want to highlight this scripture here first. It's our main scripture. It says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Now, we know in context this verse is talking about salvation, but it's also Paul was writing to the church about kind of covering all things in life, of how you go through your life as disciples, as you begin this faith journey. He's talking about salvation, but he's talking about everything that would encompass the life of a believer. Jesus told us in Matthew 10:15, he told us, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." As a church, as a disciple of Jesus, I don't think we're supposed to be dumb to the world's ways. I think we should be the wisest people in the world. We should understand how the finance works, how banking, business, education, health, you name it. We should be the wisest people. We should understand the schemes of the world. It's like, okay, I see what they're doing there. But we don't have to act like the world. And in this main verse for today, as we live a slow, roasted life, we need wisdom more than ever, because when we make margin, there's that tendency, I'm going to fill us up with this opportunity. I'm going to fill it back up. And we have to ask the Lord, "Lord, what do you want in this situation for us? As I take time and create margin, will you direct me? And is this a wise thing for me to pursue or not pursue?" And so with that, this passage really hangs on. If you look at this, there's three words in here that are really the words that would stand out. First, it's wisdom or wise. Then there's opportunity. And then the Lord's will are the three main things. That be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Wise is the focus. And then you want to, because if you live as wise, you can make the most of every opportunity, because we don't want to be foolish, but we want to understand the Lord's will. So really, these three words I want to pull out and highlight here really quickly for us here. And the first is this: wise people seek out wisdom first, opportunity second. Wise people seek out wisdom first, opportunity second. If you look at the verse didn't say, "Be very careful then to make sure you make the most of every opportunity." What did it say first? Make sure that you're wise. Get wisdom. What did Solomon say to us? Get wisdom. What does Proverbs teach us to get wisdom? The beginning of the Lord is the fear, right? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And that. So if you look at the verse here, the wise people, if we're disciples, if we're going to be wise, we have to seek out wisdom first. Then opportunity will approach us for us to go through. Proverbs 13:20 reminds us, "Walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harms." It doesn't say walk with you two first. It doesn't say walk with finding the best opportunity. It says walk with the wise, someone that's lived a wise and a life full of wisdom. Proverbs 24:14 reminds us, "Know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off." Amen. And how does this Proverbs 24 apply? Once again, look at it. It doesn't say, "Know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it." It didn't say, "Know also that money is sweet to your soul." It doesn't say, "Know also that a big house or opportunity or education." It says wisdom. Those things aren't bad. Once again, those things are not bad things. They're all good things. But Scripture reminds us, as disciples of Jesus, we should seek the wisdom of the Lord first. We should always be seeking God's mind on things. Remember John 14. Jesus said that the Spirit's main goal was to bring the thoughts of God to our mind. Now, though those are thoughts about the Scripture, and Jesus was talking about things, the commands of Him, but also the Holy Spirit's role is to bring us the wisdom of God to our minds in the moment. How many of you ever needed that? You've been in a situation where you needed wisdom before you could approach the opportunity, right? Or you had a decision, you had to buy something, you had to discipline your child, you were at your job and something just was wrong. You know, you needed, you secretly or maybe just quietly, "Lord, I need some wisdom right now." You didn't say, "God, I just need a manual right now." Or you didn't say, "Lord, I hope some," you know, you said, "God, I need your wisdom." And this first point is that as disciples, we should seek the wisdom of the Lord first, and then apply it to the opportunities that come after that. Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7, the opening of Proverbs. A lot of times we skip over sometimes the intros of books, especially in the Bible, because sometimes you've got some of these genealogies, you've got these long intros, you're like, okay, I want to get to the good stuff. But look at this, what Proverbs is. Solomon writes, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth." Amen. All parents say amen to that one. "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. As disciples of Jesus, we are to seek out the wisdom of the Lord first. What's interesting is Solomon could have said, hey, above all things, hey, man, just get rich. Or build your own business, build your brand, build your whole this or that. He said of everything, remember what Solomon prayed when he received the kingdom? What did he pray? He said, Lord, you've given me a great people. Give me wisdom to shepherd your great people. He didn't say, man, give me money, give me power, give me a strong arm, give me an army that could go out and kill all the armies that were affecting Israel. He said, give me wisdom to live well. Give me wisdom as I guide your people. And in this proverb here, he's reminding us that wise people seek out wisdom first, and then the opportunities will come. And Solomon, we need to take these words that if we're going to grow in wisdom, first it begins with the fear of the Lord and knowing that God alone is the only place of wisdom that we need. Second is this, wise people don't pursue every opportunity in front of them. All right? How many of you have pursued an opportunity that was right in front of you and you didn't give it time to think about it? And you went down a bad path, or maybe you bought something you shouldn't have bought, right? You're like, oh, yep. So wise people, and we can say wise disciples, don't pursue every opportunity in front of them. Proverbs 12:15 reminds us, the ways of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. As we journey in this life in a slow roasted pace, we need to remember if we are to gain wisdom first and to make use and wise of every opportunity first, we need to realize not every opportunity is the thing we are to pursue. We just can't jump on that. So let me ask you this. If I were to ask you the question, Dave, if I was to ask you, hey, Dave, next Saturday, can you come over and help me chop down my tree? What most of us would probably ask ourselves these questions, right? These good questions. Am I free? Do I have the time? Do I want to really help Dan? I don't know. That might be the question that you might ask. I don't know. Is there anything wrong with doing this? Those are good questions to ask. However, good questions yield good choices, but better questions yield better choices. One of my professors down at Southeastern, he'd said a good question can unlock great answers. And I would say this, a better question for us to ask is this. When we're trying to discern between what is good and best is this. In light of this, is this wise? A lot of times we ask ourselves, is this good? Do I have the free time? Do I want to do this? But those aren't necessarily wisdom questions. And I would encourage us, as you live a slow-roasted life and as you slow down, you need to ask yourself, in light of this, is this wise? Wisdom is different than good because helping me is good, right? I tell Dave, yeah, you got the time, you're free. Yeah, you got a truck, you got a chainsaw. That's all good things. But I don't know what's wise for Dave. And Dave may just came off a Friday that was a long day, and man, he's got three kids that are sick, and the house roof is leaking. But Dave's like, well, I got to help Dan. That's a good thing, but it's not the most wise thing. He needs to take care of his household first. Does that make sense? When we go through things as a slow-roasted life, we need to realize not every opportunity is good. Yeah, my tree is number one. My tree is the best opportunity to help right now get cut down, all right? However, can a tree wait? The answer is yes, it can. It may not be the wisest thing for me because my fellow brother might be suffering. Maybe a better question is, boy, in light of Dave having a long week, the house is leaking, he's got three kids sick. Boy, maybe in light of that, maybe I should go help him with his roof first. My tree can wait. It's not critical. But maybe the wisdom thing would be, man, his house is coming down. Boy, that's more important. Does that make sense? And so we need to ask ourselves better questions. And I would just submit to you, if you do this for a while, you'd be surprised what you will give up and realize some of the distractions in your life if you ask yourself, is it wise? And I'm saying this from someone that likes to help, one that always likes to say yes. I'm so thankful. My wife has been a resounding repository of, is this wise, Dan, in your life for 22 years, right? Because I'm like, oh, man, we got the chainsaws. We'll do it. Let's go. Let's go help someone. But is it wise in your life? Sometimes the predicaments we put ourselves in is because we say yes too quick, and we don't filter it through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, is this wise for me in this moment? Yeah, it's a good thing, but is it the most wise thing for me? Right now. Lastly is this, as I get ready to close here. Wise people look for God's will in every opportunity. First, we need to seek wisdom above all things. Second of all, we need to realize that not every opportunity we need to take. And then lastly, wise people look for God's will in every opportunity. Even though opportunities present us, we need to constantly be looking for what, God, what are you doing through this? Paul writes to the young church in Corinth here in 1 Corinthians here, 10:23. He says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. Once again, it goes back to this wisdom. Paul is teaching the church that, yes, there's a lot of freedom that you have in Christ. And yes, Paul's saying, there's a lot of freedom that I have as an apostle of the gospel. However, not everything I need to choose and do is beneficial or constructive for the future of the young church was being built in Corinth or as a disciple in Jesus. Not everything is constructive for you. And that's why it's so importantly for us to look for God's will in it. And how do we determine, maybe the next one, well, how do I determine that? Well, first, how many of you are spending time in your scriptures? Not a verse a day on the Bible, that YouVersion Bible, that's okay. But are you reading this and digesting it and put it in your life? Secondly, prayer. But the third thing, most of all, is wise counselors that are right here in this room. How many of you calling your friends or calling people in this church that you know that are trustworthy, that have a track record of following Christ and seeking out wisdom, the wisdom of God, and seeking out the wisdom of the fellow believers and making wise choices? We need to have a multitude of counselors around us. And to determine God's will and opportunities, we need to realize that not everything is constructive, and we need to make sure that we are inputting prayer, the scripture, and the counsel of the elders here, the wisdom of the Bible, and the believing folks here around us. Colossians 4:5 says this, it's here on your screen. It says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Once again, God's will for us may not always be what's on the surface. The world's going to present a lot of opportunities for us, things to go out and do, good things to do, maybe in your job or your education, your neighborhood. But not everything may not be the best for us as we act towards outsiders. Because what happens in this? What happens if people are watching us? We got neighbors that don't believe in Christ, and they're watching us, and we just say yes to everything. We take on everything. We know some opportunities are not constructive. They're not beneficial. Yeah, they're not wrong to do, but they're not constructive. And all of a sudden, we fill our lives up, and we get bogged down. And then we might compromise. We might tell a lie here. We might neglect our family. We might neglect time with the Word, time with the believers meeting together. We might begin to maybe regress in our walk. And now the world outside that's looking at us, they're like, wow, is that what it means to be a Christ follower? All because we didn't make the most of it. Not because we didn't take the time to slow down and to realize that, Lord, maybe this is a good thing, but it's not the best thing for me. And I want the best things in this, my slow-paced life, because I want the world that's looking at me to see a true follower of you, someone that's sold out, someone that's entrusting all their time and talent and treasure to you, and realizing that if I make the most of opportunity, that the outside world's going to see you in me. It's going to see me making wise choices and slowing down and depending upon you for everything, because every good gift comes from you. And so I want to end with this. Living life with room means this. It means using wisdom to say no to the many good things so we can say yes to the best opportunities God has planned for us. Living life with room, living life at a slow roasted pace, it means using wisdom to say no to the many good things. I pray today as you guys go out that you use wisdom and the Holy Spirit will speak to you specifically about what you're going through and the opportunities that are presented to you, that you can be able to discern between the good things and the best things for your life right now. And by that, we know that when we slow down and we listen to the Spirit, when we talk with your elders, you talk with maybe your spouse or some of your friends in here, and they say, you know what, we've been praying, we will pray with you, and you come together, you'll get together and you'll feel like, you know, John, that's probably not the best thing for you. You're like, yeah, I sense that too. And you realize you let go of that. And then what happens? God usually brings an opportunity that you're like, oh, this is the peace. I feel that peace, that shalom. This is the way, walk in it. And that's what living with life in a slow roasted pace, that's what it does for us. It allows us to use wisdom, to seek wisdom, so that we can walk in the best opportunities God has planned for you. Now, the best opportunities do not mean easy. Let's be very clear. How many of you went through, you know God placed you in this opportunity or told you to do this, but it wasn't easy. It was the right biblical thing. It was the right thing the Spirit led you into. But it was hard, right? How many of our missionaries going overseas in place, the Live Dead movement, like, you know, Julian, places where, yeah, you can't go out and tell people about Jesus. Now, that's not an easy environment. We've got missionaries that are going to, you know, fully Muslim countries where you talk about Jesus, they're going to execute you, throw you in jail. But our missionaries know, this is the Lord's will for my life. This is the opportunity. And so I want to remind us that there's a lot of opportunities that are the best opportunities for us that are hard. But there's also a lot of good opportunities that are really easy for us, and we walk in thinking, "Oh, this is easy. This must be God's will." And that's the enemy just slowly dragging us away from the best things God has planned for us, all because we didn't take time to slow down, make room for the Spirit, make room for the holy words of God to percolate in our life and to soak through all of our decisions. And so with that, I just want to encourage us with that. In a couple last verses is this. Psalms 119:98 says, "Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies." And like I said in the beginning, as we go out, Jesus said we need to be wise as a serpent, innocent as a dove. And I pray as we go out as disciples, full of the Spirit, going out to our friends, going out to the lost and stolen, that we will be wiser than any enemy, any acts of the Satan that would try to come against us, our church, your families, your grandkids, your children, that we would be wiser than his plans. Because we have the one who lives inside of us who brings us the Spirit. And then Romans 16:27 says this, "Now to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." To the only wise God. Church, and I'll close with that. As we go out, we serve the only wise God and the only true fountain of wisdom. Just all those years ago, King Solomon realized that. He realized, man, all these riches and horses and chariots and, man, none of that stuff compares to the wisdom of the Lord of God, to the wisdom of God. And if he could seek that all those years ago, how much more today do we need to seek the only wise God and ask him to fill our minds overflowing? And that's my prayer for you, that God would bless you in that. So let's pray, church. Let's pray. And afterwards, if you need prayer for anything, come forward, but let's pray. Let's ask God to fill our minds with wisdom and our life with wisdom. God, we come before you and we say thank you for your word today. God, we say thank you that, God, when we slow down, God, you show up. And that, God, when we slow down, God, you are faithful and just to bring good opportunities to us and wonderful things. And God, we just pray right now that, God, we would have wisdom to discern between the opportunities that we face every day, God, and the decisions we have to make. God, we pray that you would send your Spirit over us, fill us to overflowing again with the baptism of the Spirit. God, let us be so wise and so discerning that, God, we know, God, we can hear you so clearly, God, the still small voice. And we can know that, God, when you say walk this way, turn left or the right, or go forward, or do this business deal, or take this opportunity, God, we may be so confident that you're our good Father and that you're leading us on good pathways, even those pathways that will require us to suffer and to give. God, we know they're good things and they're best things in our life because, God, you're leading us in that. God, I pray you make your church wiser than anything around us. Make us wiser than the plans of the enemy, God. Make us wiser than anything in this world, God. God, give us wisdom of how, God, our world functions. But God, may we take that wisdom and infuse it with the Spirit. And may we turn it for good. And may God, may you get the glory forever, God. Not this church's name, but God, may the name of Jesus be lifted up by our wise decisions and the way we live. God, may Jesus, may our world and may our neighbors, may Siouxland, may the West Side know that there is a God who is the only wise King. And that he is faithful and that he's loving and redeeming to 1,000 generations. And God, may the West Side and may Sioux City see that in us, God. And we pray for all their other churches, God, for all the other disciples that are gathering at this moment, that God, they would walk in your wisdom, that God, they would not walk in the wisdom of this world, but God, they would walk in you, that God, may they know their scriptures, and may they, God, slow down to spend time with you and to know that, God, you will pour out generously. If we just ask for wisdom, and as the book of James says, that God, you will do that. So God, thank you for us gathering today, God. Thank you for Julie. God, bless her. We pray that, God, you give her wisdom and discernment, God. Make her, God, make her wise to the enemy's plans through the power of your Spirit. And God, may they thwart everything that comes against them. God, we say thank you for all that you're doing in our families, in our grandkids, our nieces and nephew. God, we just say thank you that you're moving in our son and daughters and our youth here, God. You are moving by your Spirit, and we believe by faith for all that you're doing, Jesus. And we pray this all in your strong and mighty name. Amen. 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 Amen.